Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues on AFR. Thank you for listening. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano, and Steve Jordahl joined us from American Family Radio News. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning.
We were just talking about, I had a question about who the oldest
starting quarterback
was in the NFL, because Tom Brady's 41. Well, Ed found out, didn't you, Ed?
Steve DeBerg returned to the NFL in 1998 at age 44, rejoining head coach Dan Reeves as a backup with the Atlanta Falcons. With Chris Chandler unable to play on October 25th, DeBerg became the oldest quarterback to start an NFL game when he led the Falcons against the New York Jets. They lost 28-3.
45 years old.
Well, he was 44 at the time. He was the oldest player on a Super Bowl roster at 45 years old when the Falcons appeared in the Super Bowl 33, although he did not play.
That is not the name I would have guessed. We threw out George Blandy here. He played forever. I remember in the 70s seeing him play quarterback, actually. We were filling in for Stabler one time when Kenny Stabler couldn't do. But he was on a Super Bowl roster.
George Blanda.
George Blanda was, I'm pretty sure, in the 70s.
Yeah, well, when the Raiders played in the second Super Bowl. I don't know. We'd have to find out.
Well, no,
this
been,
is starting quarterback.
It would have been the one against Minnesota where they beat the Vikings.
But the average, I mean, the quarterbacks at least are getting older in the NFL. They're playing longer. They're protected better, I think. Than they used to be, maybe.
And they made a lot of advancements in physical training.
Sure, so sure.
I've availed myself of those advancements.
Well, Ed, yeah. I think it's about time.
Have you put your name out there on the waiver list or on a free agent list, Ed?
Never too late.
I did play one. I was on the junior high football team, and I grew a lot between my eighth grade and ninth grade year. I was pretty small in junior high school, but went out for the – seventh grade football team. Never played a down.
Did you not?
I was terrible.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just I'd never played Pop
but
Warner
you know,
or anything
self-awareness,
like that.
I think, which helps you even today to know, you know, when you're not capable of doing much.
As Clint Eastwood says, a man should know his limitations. And in this case, a seventh grade boy should know his limitations.
We played flag football when I was in eighth grade, and I was on the team. I was a guard.
On flag football? Football, you were a guard?
Well, they have guards.
I know, but...
They rush the quarterback.
You're not even allowed to block.
No, if I'm a guard on a flag football team, I'm going to stay home. I'm not... I'm sorry, Steve. I was
13 years old.
I don't mean to demean your athletic prowess.
That's where my athletic prowess ended, right there.
But
I learned to sing the next year, and then it was, it was all over.
Oh, man. So, Jordahl, you're going to play guard for us. Really? Okay, what am I going to do? Stand here.
You can move, but you can't touch anybody.
Yeah, just get in the way of people, okay?
I think I remember. I mean,
did you ever get a pass? Did you ever get a pass or a handoff?
Pass to a guard. Even in flag football, you can't pass to a guard.
When I was in Bible college, I played on two championship flag football teams. That's the truth. Wide receiver.
Did you get a trophy? You got a trophy at home, a trophy case?
No, I don't think we had trophies.
I went out for flag football.
Consecutive.
2 consecutive years.
I went out for flag football.
Yeah.
You went
out for it?
Well, no. I was on an intramural, I should say this.
I was cut.
I was
Where
cut.
You cut from? The flag football tryouts.
I was on an intramural flag football team at Biola University, and we practiced, and we had some really good receivers. We were going to probably do okay, but the warm-up for the very first game, I went out and just to loosen up and did a route, and I blew my knee out right there at the warm-ups for the very first game. Never got to play down.
You blew your knee out?
Totally. No one near me. I was just running. I took a cut to the right in my left knee. Just there it went.
That's the kind of thing you just don't ever tell anyone.
Right.
Tell people you got shot.
Okay, don't tell anybody.
Stopping a bank robbery or something.
No, or you were diving for the game-winning score or something.
Also in college, I played. I was on a championship street hockey team. Led the league in scoring.
Wow. Well, now that we know that you think it's good to lie about things like this, well, I don't know if that's true or not.
Your resume, your sports resume is lengthier than I thought it was.
Yes, it is. I will, so I don't get proud of my intramural successes. I did go out for a little league as a kid and did not get picked. I was so nervous.
I thought everybody made a little league
team. That's what I thought. I was so nervous. I mean, I was a pretty decent ball player, but just, you know, dropped a couple pop flies, and they did not pick me.
Yeah, everybody but Ed.
Yep. That's pretty sad.
Well, it happens. It can scar you if you don't move on.
I'm still bitter.
You know? Yeah.
I know the guy's name who didn't pick me.
Who's that? You
and remember? if he wasn't dead right now, he'd be in big trouble with me.
Yeah.
All right, Steve.
Yes. Hey, I wanted to pay off on something we started last Thursday at the very end. We didn't have enough time, and I didn't know we didn't have enough time, and I started playing this clip.
And plus you blew out your knee.
And plus I blew up my knee, you know, in 1982. this is – we were talking about the wall that President Trump wants to build at the southern border and all the Democrat angst about it. Campus Reform, which is a group that advocates for conservatives on college campuses, went to the American University in Washington, D.C. and asked students about quotes that they attributed to President Trump but were actually from Schumer, Obama, and Clinton. So from Chuck Schumer, President Obama, and I think it was Hillary Clinton. And they asked them about these quotes. So I wanted to play you the reaction when the students thought they were Trump as opposed to when they were told it was from these other three.
First quote, we should spend money to build a barrier to prevent illegal immigrants from coming in. Another quote, we simply cannot allow people to pour into the U.S. undetected, undocumented, and unchecked. Quote, illegal immigration is wrong, plain and simple. Until the American people are convinced we will stop future flows of illegal immigration, we'll make no progress. When you hear quotes like that, what's your reaction to them?
It's divisive.
I just really think it's kind of hateful speech in general.
There are racial biases kind of sort of deep embedded in there.
In a word, I'd say it's more jingoist.
Well, I think his demeanor overall is just unacceptable.
I think just the way that he's referring to people across the wall is very dehumanizing.
What if I told you these were from Chuck Schumer, Barack Obama, and Hillary Clinton?
Really? I mean,
that's interesting. I didn't think that, That's interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right.
those kinds of, I love those kinds of man on the street things, especially on college and university campuses. Now, again, to be fair, a lot of these are cherry picked. You get the best ones,
sure.
The people who say that, you know, that's disgusting. And what one intended to say jingoistic. And, but it is always fun to watch their faces when they realize they hated the quotes when they thought they were President Trump's. Now they're caught because their favorite politicians were the ones who actually said it. Now what do you can't take back what you said.
That's right.
Because it's obvious that now you're playing favorites. I love those. Those are
it
those
is
are
fun.
Fun
but
watch.
It's not the only comedy that's coming from the border in this wall thing. I wanted to play you something that happened last Thursday, I think it was, in the afternoon. President Trump went down to the border and had a conversation. This was somewhere in Texas, and he had a conversation with Border Patrol agents and everything. And Jim Acosta from CNN went down along with the president to report on this and really bent over backwards to try to make the president look bad about the president's claim that there's a crisis at the border. And so let's give a listen to how that came out.
Here are some of the steel slats that the president's been talking about right here. As you can see, yes, you can see through these slats to the other side of the U.S.-Mexico border. But as we're walking along here, we're not seeing any kind of imminent danger. There are no migrants trying to rush toward this fence here in the McAllen, Texas area. As a matter of fact, there are some other businesses behind me along this highway. There's a gas station, Burger King, and so on. But no sign of the national emergency that the president has been talking about. As a matter of fact, it's pretty tranquil down here.
Tranquil because, well, the walls work and you're standing right next to a wall. Oops.
Hey, listen, that this Jim Acosta, who's this couldn't have happened to a better person. He
thought he was getting a dig in at the president.
Yes,
but it backfired on him.
He's pretty full of himself.
Acosta, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he thought he was, like you said, slamming the president by saying, look, here's this wall here. Doesn't look like to be anybody rushing to get into the country. Well, that's because there's a wall there, Jim.
You know, but that whole point of doing what he's trying to do there is so sophomoric, so childish, if you will, for a CNN veteran reporter like him. The reason I say that would be like, you know, when people report on climate change, and they're standing in the desert of Arizona in August going, see, this is just ruining our planet. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
While San Diego's the coolest it's been in two decades.
Yeah.
Like you see every once in a while. I'm just saying selective reporting to try to make your political point.
Yes.
If Jim Acosta really wanted to, everybody knows there's a national emergency on the border because we know how many millions of people have poured into our country illegally, and even Democrats admit that, 11, 12, 13 million. Yeah. Don't know what the figure is. And they're still in these caravans, and people are still coming here illegally. That does constitute a national emergency in the minds of a lot, at least I think probably 50% of the American people. He could have just as easily, Acosta could have gone to somewhere else and shown people coming into our country over our border that's not protected by a wall, and said, here's the reason that the president is talking about this. This happens every day, according to the Border Patrol, and he wants to stop this.
CNN, you want to get your viewers back? Then have reporters do that. Yeah. Have reporters show both sides. I think Americans want all the facts. They'll right. make up their own minds. But what CNN has been doing for the last, well, I think since Trump, but certainly for the last 10 years after President Obama was elected, is they want to tell the viewer what they should think.
You know, that's a no-win reporting right there. I'm surprised Acosta went down to the border, and this is the reason President Obama didn't go down to the border. It's a no-win for you if you're an open borders person. And by open borders, I mean practically speaking, for all practical purposes, because nobody's going to say I'm for open borders. Very few people will just admit that, although their actions say that they are. The Democrats are, but they just won't say it like that. However, that's a no-win. If I were Jim Acosta and I were CNN, I would not have sent him down there.
Right.
The reason is, if you do what he did, like he did, where you go out and report from a site that has a fence, right, or a wall, as it were, with steel slabs, then there's nothing going on there, then President Trump says, look, this is the reason we need a fencing or walls, because they work. That's the reason. But if there is no wall there, and you're seeing, you know, then you look and you go, wow, that's just wide open. There needs to be something there to,
right. yeah.
some kind of barrier there to help our Border Patrol people have a.
They're making, hold. They're arresting 60,000 a month trying to cross the border. Now that's the
one. That
ones,
is a national emergency.
That's the ones they're arresting. That means we don't know how many are getting away with it.
If you had 60,000 people trying to enter Jim Acosta's house every month, I think he would say this is a national emergency.
Yes. Huh? I need a wall.
A regional one.
He would say what? I need a wall.
I need
right?
a wall around this place.
Right. Wouldn't he say that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, to your point about CNN only wanting one side, it's blatant, and it became obvious. They got called on it this same weekend. CNN decided to call in to a local affiliate there and ask them
in San Diego, right?
San Diego, a local TV station in San Diego, and ask how their reporting had gone. They wanted to get a local flavor. This is what ended up airing on KUSI, I think is the name of the station in San Diego. Listen to this.
And as a sign of the times in this debate on the shutdown, CNN asked if KUSI would provide a reporter to offer our local view of the debate, especially to learn if the wall works in San Diego.
KUSI offered our own Dan Plant, who's reported many times that the wall is not an issue here. In fact, most officials believe it is effective. The issue we face is the migrants and the debate over their treatment.
Now, knowing this, CNN declined to have us on their programs, which often present the wall as not required in other places, like the stretch of the Texas border the president visited earlier today. They didn't like what they heard from us.
It's just some background for you.
There you go. Just some background for you.
This was a local affiliate of?
Well, CNN doesn't have affiliates. It was a local TV station. I don't know who it was affiliated with. But in other words,
CNN called. They wanted to get the local take in San Diego if it does a wall work.
Right.
And they wanted to hear a wall doesn't work.
It's not needed.
It's unnecessary or it's immoral. And the TV stations, they said, yeah, it does work.
Right.
That was their view. The wall does work, and they want to keep it.
Yes.
And so CNN didn't get the kind of response they wanted, so they.
Never mind.
Exactly. Rosanna Dana.
Never mind.
I don't watch CNN anymore.
I don't either. And you know what I used to? We've talked about, you and I have talked about this, that, you know, whatever it was, 10 years ago or something, I still, in national emergencies, wartime coverage, that kind of thing, I would flip over to CNN because they had honest-to-goodness journalists and reporting in the field, and now they've just become a propaganda arm of, in my opinion, propaganda arm of the Democratic Party, with some exceptions. I like some of their reporters some of the time and some of their anchors.
They used to do both sides of the issue. CNN did on their news shows.
They had Crossfire, remember?
Yeah, Crossfire for years. My dad was on that several times back in the day, back in the 80s. But they since quit doing that. Now, the few times I have turned over there, you know, it's bash Trump all day, every day.
Right.
When Chris Cuomo is a voice of reason.
Yes. Exactly.
You know you've gone.
And he said way this over past week left. He said to a well it was to Don Lemon. Lemon. Yeah. He said there's nothing immoral about a wall.
No. Yeah. Good for him. Good for Chris Cuomo.
But like you said, if he's your voice of reason, you are far to the left.
Yeah. Indeed.
Next story, Steve.
Well, you know, Democrats are going to be taking over control of the House, or I guess they have.
They have already.
We're in the new year. And that means they're going to be in charge of all the committees. We've got a promise from Benny Thompson, who is an African-American representative from somewhere here in Mississippi. And he is going to be the chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee. Mm-hmm. And he is promising that he is going to take a deep look into what is being called the growth of deadly right-wing extremism in America. I'm not sure how white supremacy got.
What about left-wing extremism? Did he say anything about that?
No. Oh. I don't know that there's. I mean,
there's no such thing, Tim.
Black Lives Matter is mainstream Democrat Party.
But that's what he said. What did he say?
He said he wants to. See, some people I understand who have belonged to these groups in the past, so there might be an opportunity to dialogue. He says he's looking into the growth of deadly right-wing extremism in America.
I don't believe that.
How did white supremacy get linked with the right?
Congressman Thompson is from our state where we're. He doesn't represent the place we live.
Right.
In Congress, but he's from the Mississippi Delta, what's known as the Delta area. He's been there a long time. He's been in Congress a long time. He's a Democrat and he's a liberal, but he's never said anything really hostile to Christians or conservatives that bad that I've ever heard. But I don't know what he's got in mind here. I disagree with the and you know, maybe there's proof that I could be wrong on this, which is rare in my life, but I just say that I don't believe there's a rise in right-wing extremism, racist groups.
And initially he's talking about white supremacists, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, but if he's going to use the Southern Poverty Law Center, that's what we want to know.
That would be a concern.
Maybe, you know, we'll call his office and see what source he intends to use to define a hate group. Because the Southern Poverty Law Center, the SPLC, would define Ben Carson as a hate group.
Which they did as a hater.
Yeah, Dr. Ben Carson, they called him a hate group.
Because of his views on same-sex marriage, was it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, you know, the concern is, I don't know anybody, I honestly don't know anybody who's in favor of white supremacists.
Tell me where they're mainstreamed at all.
Yes.
To anybody. I don't know.
So if you start off there, and then you call them right-wing extremists, and then you drop the extremist part, you say right wing, and then you make it conservative. pretty soon you started way over with white supremacists, and now you're talking about groups like us.
Yeah, that's what they, well, that's what the progressives want to do. They want to that's why they use the SPLC group list. Now, SPLC has been discredited.
Yes.
Roundly discredited, the Southern Poverty Law Center, based out of Montgomery, Alabama, oddly enough. And they have a they did have a good history, a good, I put in quotations because I don't know all the details of their history, but they had a, I would say that they had a righteous cause back in the 60s with the civil rights movement.
Right.
So, but because that went away, that need for that, they morphed into this far left group that just goes after conservative, what they
and Christian beliefs.
So they put out this hate group list that they circulate in Hollywood and in the liberal news media and even the FBI back during the Obama administration. The FBI
rebuked the SPLC
and the Department of Defense, but they used their list
Until
they were found out, until they were discredited. And the SPLC has got, they're supposed to be a nonprofit, but they've got like millions and millions of dollars in offshore bank accounts.
Over $300 million or something.
I would just say if the SPLC's cause of right-wing extremism is such a serious issue in the money, why can't you find places to spend your money to fight it? Instead of putting your money in
offshore bank accounts.
So I think the whole narrative that's put forth by the left-wing media and the Hollywood types that there is a real problem with right-wing extremism in this country is a boogeyman.
Mm.
I really do. In fact, the SPLC list, again, going, they had a KKK... They have KKK chapters they'll put American Family Association and a KKK chapter
on the same map.
And they'll say they're both hate groups.
Right.
And if you look at their map of Mississippi, for instance, there's like 8 or 10 places where the Southern Poverty Law Center, and this is what we're getting back to, whether Benny Thompson's going to use the SPLC list to define hate groups. Well, I remember looking at the SPLC list, Southern Poverty Law Center, there was this store in a little small town about 20 miles north of where we live here in Tupelo that sold Confederate flags.
Right. Family-owned.
And other Civil War memorabilia.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what they sold, these items.
Right.
Well, they were listed as a hate group.
Yes.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
That's how they were listed as a hate group. And so that's how uncareful the SPLC is in just grouping all these people, hate groups, and counting them. That's why you say, well, there's 1,000 hate groups in America. You know what I'm saying?
And one of them is a KKK chapter that has a post office box
it's just
in Nebraska somewhere. And
so anyway, we'll see what the Representative Benny Thompson does with this.
These hearings.
But I doubt they'll look too much at the Muslim supremacy groups. Go ahead.
In fact, someone this morning in our story meeting said that Benny Thompson invited Louis Farrakhan to address a group that he was, that there was some sponsored group. And,
years ago?
And Farrakhan was invited to speak. So,
is that true, Steve?
That's what I hear.
So, I mean, you know, if that's true, I want to know if the Nation of Islam will be investigated by Congressman Thompson's...
I will tell you that the Southern Poverty Law Center just this last weekend distanced itself from the Women's March because of the Women's March Farrakhan ties. So the Women's March has lost SPLC as a sponsor over Farrakhan. So there's that.
Well, will you see if they're going, what they're going to do with all that money? Because we could use some of it.
Sure. They've had to pay out.
We could buy some more radio stations. SPLC would give us some of that money.
They had to pay out $3 million to somebody.
Doesn't it beg the question? You got all this money and you're saying there's a real problem and we're not fighting it because we're investing in offshore.
Not that big.
Yeah. All right, folks. See you back here tomorrow. Have a great day. Keep listening to AFR.